And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side of Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, I'm going to correct something. I don't recall when I've had to do this, but I think I said something earlier that is inaccurate. And I say that because there are so many programs that require federal match, like Medicaid. Medicaid actually requires state input, but then gets a federal match. SNAP benefits. If you're not familiar, SNAP benefits, it's basically what we used to call food stamps back in the day. What's the SNAP stand for? I've got it here somewhere in the article, but in the bottom line is this: SNAP stands for, help me out, brother. Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
Yep.
Got it. Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and then there's WIC, which is the Women's, Infants, and Children's Program. This is basically, they give you the EBT card. You issue the card, and then the funds drop into your card, almost like a prepaid credit card. You can go buy food. Now, there are things that the state can do because the state does administer the process. And when I was in the legislature, we actually, for the first time, because Democrats used to control the legislature, we were able to get the reports that showed where SNAP cards were being used or EBT cards were being used. And you could see them being used at strip clubs. You could see them being used at liquor stores, tobacco shops. And so we changed a lot of that. You can do that at the state level. But the funding itself is fully funded through the federal government. It's administered by the state. So earlier I said that I felt like the state had a surplus and the potential was there for the state to upfund the program and be reimbursed later. They're saying in this article here, Alabama's DHR Commissioner Nancy Buckner says that there are 750,000 Alabamians who depend on roughly $140 million in support each month, and they hope that Congress will come to a quick resolution because SNAP benefits, she says, are 100% federally funded through the USDA, and that controls the issuance of the benefits onto the EBT card. So it sounds like, we couldn't upfund it if we wanted to. And that's disturbing. Now, there is an entire conversation we could have about how many people are on federal entitlement programs or benefit programs. I think it's like 23% or 24% of Alabama is on some form of Medicaid. That's awful. And then you've got 750,000 Alabamians who depend on SNAP or EBT cards. That boils down to like roughly one fifth of the state. So what I'm saying is there is that conversation that needs to happen, but you don't cut them off cold turkey overnight because Democrats don't want to vote on a bill. So that's what's happening. If we change the law and says we're not going to have this income bracket or this demographic, not demographic, what am I trying to say? This income bracket is not going to be eligible any further. You're not going to have, you know, age requirements of some kind. You're going to have work requirements tacked onto it. All that to say, you can change the law legislatively, but right now they haven't done that. Right now they've gotten people used to having their EBT card, and they're about to have a whole bunch of people with no money to buy bread. And that's not going to go over well. So if you want to fix the problem, you got to fix the problem. You don't just go, sorry, we don't feel like voting today, and vote it down. Jay from Killen said, if the White House is being changed by Biden, the press would say he was creating good-paying union jobs. Yes. Oh, look, Yellow Dog Mike is here. What's he got to say? Said, looks like all your bootlicking paid off. Why don't the Repubs take that ballroom money and put it on SNAP benefits? This is the most corrupt administration in U.S. history. All the MAGA go along with it. History's never kind to collaborators. I guess Yellow Dog doesn't remember that we have a private donor who helped pay for getting the troops paid. Like $130 million, was it?
That's correct.
Yeah. A reclusive billionaire, part of the Mellon family, chose to do that out of his pocket. So, yes, private donations do go for things sometimes, but you're mixing apples and oranges. You're conflating again, Yellow Dog. Conflating. And then I see Penny from Athens is squaring me away on what SNAP is an acronym for. All right. I'm going to move on to another topic. Dipper number dos. We're on the dos dipper here on Meatloaf Monday. Campaign jackassery. Y'all, I have been harboring this dipper for days. I couldn't get to it. And I'm going to tell you right now, in the lexicon of right side, in the glossary, in the appendix, if you will, of right side terminology, there are certain words you've learned here that we use on a regular basis. We haven't had to use them as much since Trump got elected, but kakistocracy is one of them, a government run by the least competent of its people. And then the other one is jackassery. Jackassery has always been that stupid stuff that people do in the course of their elected duties, like absolutely asinine, stupid stuff. And we even have a sound effect for that, a jackassery sound effect. Hit it. There it is. Sounds a lot like the mascot for the Democrat Party. But nonetheless, jackassery has always meant elected officials. And yet now, I got to tell you, I'm seeing people who want to be elected officials, and I'm questioning whether or not there's campaign jackassery. So I got to ask you, JP, I'm going to go ahead and go there first. Some people are going to get beat up by this. It's a Republican, allegedly a Republican. He says he's a Republican. AJ McCarron, former all-star, you know, Alabama quarterback, 35 years old, had a career in the NFL, had a career in the, what was the alternative? He was in the
UFL,
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's lived in multiple states, Ohio, Texas, Georgia. He has now said that he is running for lieutenant governor in the state of Alabama. There were some who immediately questioned his residency. Fair question, because mm-hmm. there are residency requirements. I think it's 5 years. You have to be a resident state for 5 years. Well, he was playing for Cincinnati just a few years ago,
he
right?
He was playing in St. Louis.
In St. Louis.
I think 2 years ago. Yeah.
So you wonder, okay, how is this? Okay, well, you and I talked on the air, and you said you heard that he maintained a house in Mobile.
Yep.
Except the story just broke on Alabama Daily News that AJ McCarron apparently just registered to vote for the first time on Monday.
Yep.
So now he's got a conundrum. He has to explain himself why politics is so important even though he's never voted. That's one possibility. Or why is it he voted somewhere else but he's claiming his residency was actually here?
Yep.
Because if he voted for president or whatever else in St. Louis or Cincinnati or wherever, then does that defeat his residency claim because he claimed to be a resident somewhere else for voting purposes? I don't know the answer to that yet.
He doesn't have a conundrum on his hands. So, and like I said, I think most people assumed he kept his primary residency in Alabama because he had a mobile real estate company and such, but him just not registering to vote causes some questions.
Well, right now, Wes Allen, who I think is going to be on the show tomorrow, Wes Allen is our current Secretary of State, who's running for lieutenant governor, has been for quite a while, has over $600,000 on hand. We don't have a filing yet from A.J. McCarron, but I think A.J. McCarron, and by the way, I don't see that there's been any statement being made by his camp yet. Like, if he's going to have these things said about him, that's the kind you actually have to respond to. And I'm wondering, are we watching campaign jackassery right here in Alabama? There you have it. More to come. I got stuff. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Hey, my friends, Phil Williams here. You've heard me talk about Inspire Advisors, how Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors will help you grow your investment portfolio while also screening out the companies that don't stand for conservative Christian principles. Look, they are experts in what is known as biblically responsible investing, and they are now offering a limited opportunity for a free class on that BRI. Check out the class, register for free, their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com. It's godly, it's conservative, it's financial freedom, y'all, with Inspire Advisors at www.moneypatternwealth.com. Check them out. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all are talking about this show. It goes like from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga, and I'm talking about Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, War Eagle, straight across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Big old patches of North Georgia, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And that, my friends, is just the radio. Just the radio. Then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web and logging in on the live stream. Logging in on places like X, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, our website, rightsidemedia.org. Rightsidemedia.org, yep. And then there's the podcasters. tons of y'all podcast this show after the fact, catch up on what you might have missed, and we could see it. And we're talking 364,000 plus downloads of this show on the podcast forum. All that to say, thank you. Wherever you catch the show, we could see it. That's why I run through that whole mantra sometimes, just to make sure you know that we could see where it. I don't care which version you're getting the show on. Thank you for doing it. It means the world to us. You're the reason why we get behind the microphone. I'm in this section called Campaign Jackassery. So I've got this like series of things that people are doing in their campaigns. You're like, what? What is wrong with you? Now, one of the ones that's really gotten the world's attention right now, and Democrats don't know what to do with it because it's their guy. So, you know, after years of calling everybody else Hitler, Democrats suddenly want to excuse their own candidate who's running with a Nazi tattoo. So the guy's name is Graham Plattner. And Graham Plattner is running for I guess he's running for office in Maine in the Maine Senate race. And you look at it, did you already put it up? Is that the tattoo? What is that? Is this the SS skull and crossbones? Is that what it is? Can you zoom in on it, or can you get a better image of it? By the way, I'm tired of seeing this guy shirtless on TV because it ain't right. Anyway, okay. So he's got like an SS skull and crossbones. I hadn't seen it before.
Yep. Yes, now, he does.
He's tried to cover it up.
Oh yeah, he's put a new image over it since, but this image is still the internet is forever.
So he tatted his tat trying to get rid of it.
He tatted his tat, but he has taken ownership of it, at least that he used to have this tattoo, which is a little bit ironic because Pete Hegseth got eviscerated for having the Crusader cross.
An actual Crusader cross.
Which stands for nothing but Christianity, but this guy gets a pass.
So right now, we've got literally, like for instance, Chris Murphy. Chris Murphy is a Democrat senator who just didn't want to talk about it. So he's on CNN State of the Union with Jake Tapper the other day. And when he was asked about it, he was asked flat out, Jake Tapper, to his credit, by the way, Jake Tapper, who I rarely ever say to his credit when I'm talking about him, but he says, I want to ask you about the Maine Senate race because early this month you called Maine Senate candidate Graham Plattner impressive. But since then, a lot about him has come out, including the fact that he has a Totenkopf. That's what it's called, a Totenkopf, a skull head. Totenkopf. It's the Nazi emblem for the SS. He had one of those tattooed on his chest. He's denied that he knew what the tattoo meant until recently, but CNN did find several times that he discussed the Totenkopf emblem in recent years and months. Do you think that Plattner is still impressive? Murphy acknowledged the reporting and then quickly pivoted to talk about Plattner's military service and called him a man who, you know, he's a human being who might have made some mistakes. I got to ask you, has there ever been a more blatant level of hypocrisy in the campaign seasons? Because if that had been a Republican, then white supremacy would have been all the news. That's all they'd be talking about. We would be at the end of the world. And yet they've got a guy with an actual SS emblem tattooed on his chest. And they want to say he's a human being who might have made some mistakes. He's an impressive guy.
It's just like with Jay Jones when Senator Tim Kaine was pressed on it, and he said, "No, I still support him because I'm not going to let this ruin all the years of me knowing that Jay Jones is actually a good man. So I'm not gonna denounce him." And Jay Jones, that should have been something that got him out of the race, but yeah, he's still in. So obviously, the Democratic Party endorses their own wanting to have Republicans killed with their family and then Nazi tattoos. That's just fine. That actually gets you an endorsement.
Apparently.
Yeah.
They're desperate right now. They are desperate because they recognize that Maine's already in trouble. Maine hung on to the transgender in sports thing. We had Laurel Libby on our show twice. They've had any number of reasons for there to be pushback at the local level. And now they got this guy running on their ticket, and he's their top of the ticket. And they're like, oh, crap. And they're doing all they can to pretend it's not a thing. And if it's not a thing, then why did he get it tattooed over?
Exactly, right? Yeah.
Just saying, why did he go out there and get it redesigned and try to make it into one of those like Nordic tattoos with the wolf and the Nordic symbols? Okay. That, my friends, is campaign jackassery right there. I'm just telling you. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Now, Mondani is the gift that keeps on giving. Now, there was a poll, by the way. The poll came out that said that Cuomo is closing the gap. But listen, he's closed it to 10 points. That's still a lot.
Yeah.
10 points, man. I don't care if you win by half a point. A win's a win. 10 points, that's a rout. So
that's like getting a touchdown to make it 48 to 10.
Thank you. There it is. You feel better about yourself? Yeah, we got points on the board. Good. We were trying to get a shutout, darn it. But yeah, Mondani, listen, talk about campaign jackassery. And what kills me is just like that Nazi tattoo, the guy keeps getting away with stuff. And they don't care. They literally don't care. The liberal left could care less about Mondani defending the fact that he's got smiling pictures made with a radical Islamic imam who supported the terrorists that bombed the World Trade Center. Not the 9/11 terrorists, but the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. I mean, he was an unindicted co-conspirator. His name is at the Brooklyn Mosque, the Wahaj Brooklyn Mosque, and his name is Siraj Wahaj. So Imam Siraj Wahaj is an unindicted co-conspirator in the 1993 World Trade Center bomb. Oh, you got the picture. Look at that. JP, you're amazing. So there's, if you're looking at the live stream, there he is, smiling gleefully. Oh, let us get a selfie together. Oh, yes. There's Mondani and Imam Siraj Mahaj. He did not come out and say, I wasn't aware. I'm sorry. That should not have happened. Or I was just on the street corner and he grabbed me and said, let's get a selfie. I didn't know who he was. No, he knew exactly who he was and he's been defending it. He defends him as, quote, one of the nation's foremost Muslim leaders and a pillar of the Bedford-Stuyvesant community for nearly half a century. Well, I guess credit to the fact that he'll double down.
But that just shows how confident he is that he's going to win. He doesn't need it. I mean, he doesn't care. He'll put it right out in the open. He doesn't care. He's going to win anyways.
Oh, my gosh. I'm still praying no. I mean, you know what? How crazy is it that at this point I have no choice but to hope that Cuomo wins?
Yeah, right.
Cuomo.
Yeah. I'll take the guy I know over than the avowed socialist who's taking pictures with terrorists.
Yeah, it's awful. The Brooklyn Daily Eagle reported at the time, this is a different thing where they meet with other presidents. But the assemblyman right now, which he's trying to be the mayor, the assemblyman, Mondani, is all just all over the idea that he goes and meets with the radical imam. But it's more than that. He's also, oh, by the way, called for global jihad. So you got a guy who makes nicey-nice and takes smiling pictures with radical imams who are unindicted co-conspirators in terrorist actions on the U.S. soil. And then he's also the guy who's trying to say he never supported global jihad, and yet you can go back and look at his statements on social media, and you can find the number of places that he said it. Well, this week, finally, hundreds of Jewish rabbis signed a letter saying, quote, to declare that we cannot remain silent in the face of a rising anti-Semitism and its political normalization throughout our nation, and lamenting that public figures like mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani refuse to condemn violent slogans, deny Israel's legitimacy, and accuse the Jewish state of genocide, because he does all those things. You talk about campaign, that's like complete jackassery, and that's it. And yet, the left will not say he did something wrong. What? The height of hypocrisy. Because if that had been a Republican, soft on terrorism, it would have been the end of time as we know it. It would have been cats and dogs living together. It would have been madness. It would have been just like people running naked through a bean field. It has been all kinds of craziness. But it's okay if you're a Democrat because, you know, it's good to be a Democrat. Last one I got for the break. I don't know if you're watching the implosion of the Abigail Spanberger campaign against Winsome Sears.
Oh, yeah. I'm enjoying it, too.
I'm enjoying it. The Virginia gubernatorial election right now between Republican Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earl Sears and her Democrat challenger. Here's the other piece of hypocrisy. For everything the left says they stand for, and for all the intersectionalities and the glass ceilings they try to break, they should be embracing Winsome Sears. I mean, why would they not? She's the first ever black female naturalized citizen Marine Corps veteran running to be the governor of the state of Virginia. Can you imagine? Like, that's like most of their, like, claims to fame.
And Obama endorsed her her opponent. This is right up Obama's alley of candidates that he alleges to be for.
So Obama came out and endorsed the white Democrat. I'll take it back. Look at the Biden administration. Ketanji Brown Jackson was nominated by Biden first because he said he was looking for a black woman. Now, granted, she's a jurist with a long track record, but she's always going to have an asterisk because the Biden administration wanted to break the glass ceiling before it found the right justice. But yet that's who they are, right? They're always woke. They're always DEI. They're always pro-trans, pro-illegal immigrant. And yet when you've got someone like Winsome Sears, who is an extremely sharp person, who is a Marine Corps veteran, whose family immigrated here from Jamaica, who grew up in the American dream, really, and as a black female, is now the lieutenant governor of the state and is running to be the governor, and she's a top-tier candidate. And by the way, I've heard her speak in person, and she's amazing. And I'm looking at this going, that's everything y'all say you stand for. And yet, you got Spanberger, who refuses to say things on the debate stage and looks like a complete buffoon. And she's going to get the endorsements because, you know, we can't have that conservative. So they don't care really about the things they say they care about. They care about the ideology. That's what they care about.
Yeah, they just use it as a reason to put in radicals into elected positions.
Yeah. And we also learned that Spanberger has now been caught on video claiming that she did not take cash for her campaign from certain groups. And it turns out she did. One of them is a group called No Hope for Change. And the other one's called AIPAC, which is the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee. So basically, all of the anti-Israel, pro-Palestine supporters in the Democrat Party are like, you took money from Israel? You can't make that. By the way, it's nothing but campaign jackassery. Just go ahead and hit it. There it is. All right. I had more, but if I didn't get that dipper done today, I wasn't going to sleep tonight. We got it done. We're taking a break. We're taking the last break of the day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.